Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
This podcast is not for the faint of heart, close-minded, bitch niggas, or people without a sense of humor. Please keep in mind that we do not condone violence of any sort. Our sole purpose of this podcast is to have fun. Please enjoy.
Well, I'll be. Well, I'll goddamn be.
Well, I'll be. I can't hear myself.
You can hear yourself? Check
your
headphones.
Check my head, Dad.
There you go, boy.
Ooh, listen to that voice.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome.
Welcome back to another hour of Melanated Mayhem.
Melanated Mayhem.
I'm Derek Gaines.
And I'm a Roman.
And this is...
No need
for apologies. We got another episode for your stinking asses.
Yes. We got Carrie Cadet in the motherfucking studio.
The chocolatey Carrie Cadet.
You don't understand how this nigga is like, he loves your chocolateness.
Does he?
You just you just walk by and he be like.
No, I've always had a thing.
That's like,
yeah, she chocolate.
What do you do? Do you like take oatmeal baths?
You moisturize with something.
Yeah.
Yo, I don't even like to lotion. That's why it's so funny. I don't like to waste it. I only lotion the parts you see because lotion
really?
Is expensive.
So wait, this is all good, but everything gray. Else you look
yo,
like.
My back is wild ashy. My kneecaps ashy. My calves.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, ashy. Wow.
Wild
wow,
ashy.
Damn. Tumbleweeds.
I don't know. That's like so fucking chocolatey.
Good for
like
you.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Aw, thank you.
It's because it's smooth, baby. And I understand as an eczema patient, to see such smooth skin is a wonderful thing. Carrie Cadet, ladies and gentlemen, very, very funny.
Woohoo.
Very, very exciting, very energetic comedian.
A very powerful woman.
Very powerful. Came in the game quick.
Came in the game fucking quick out of nowhere.
And then pop. Like he was like, oh, shit.
I remember seeing Carrie just like, we're all hanging out on McDougal. And like, hey, what's up? And then she's at fucking Caroline's packing out shows. And
packing
like,
them.
Wait, what?
Like, wait, what? He was like, wait, she just got here. I thought she was just some dancer that used to hang out at the old stand.
Yo, we sort of got, we were like, what the fuck? Who is
she? I thought she was like a theater major, came in, guy had to, you know.
You know who's
in.
Your biggest fan and that always sang your praises? Chris Cotton.
Really? Yeah. I love Chris.
Chris Cotton was your biggest. Yeah, man. This is the Carrie. She's working.
Oh, I love Chris Cotton and his beautiful, dark skinned self. Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh.
So, Queen. So, what
fucking
it is?
He's raising
so,
that ass, nigga.
He's raising that. It's a fat raising that.
I think I like a fucking.
We got to bring him in.
Chocolate covered blueberry.
But like a blueberry with too much like injections in
it. Y'all are so dumb.
You are trying to
fucking GMO
and,
blueberry.
Yeah, that's Chris Cotton.
But I'm sorry, I interrupted.
You good? So Carrie, how you doing? So tell us something. Tell them what you are, what you do, what you got next, or whatever.
God, I feel like there's so many.
Or the
things.
Story or whatever. Yeah, I'm curious.
You know, I just got back from Colombia with the girls, so that was fun.
I'll be.
Oh, yeah. Who are the girls?
It was like 10 of us for like my best friend's birthday.
Yeah,
so
that's
it was like
nice
a when, crazy girls trip.
When a bunch of, they all went. Because you know how niggas, they fall off every week.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going. Oh, I can't make it. There's some of y'all, oh, I got to babysit. And they all went.
We don't do that. And if you do that, you still got to pay your money. We don't do that. Mm. So like there's been times where because of comedy, I couldn't go. Like I couldn't go on last
and
year's birthday trip.
Up.
And I just paid my money because that's the responsible thing to do.
That is great.
Damn, you hang out with some responsible people. Mm-hmm.
She's successful. Damn. She ain't a queen.
That's over 30 shit. When you 20.
I mean, I don't know. Is that a blanket statement? That's what I feel like.
No, I just feel like when I was.
I think it's just you and your crew.
Well, I'll take that. I'll accept that.
There's a certain level of maturity and stuff. Yeah. So it's called Columbia, huh? So girls trip to Columbia.
Nice.
It's very worldly, Carrie Cotter. I like just how you go travel. We was talking earlier, and you was like, you got to go travel.
I'm
like,
you do. And Derek is a hood rat. He was like, nah, I'm good just being in Manhattan in Brooklyn. Go to Jersey to see the family.
He just wants an apartment in Kips Bay.
Yep, that's it.
This nigga don't want to leave.
Kips Bay, my nigga?
Kips Bay. I'm chilling. I go to the movies right across the street.
This nigga don't want to go nowhere.
Nobody wants to live in Kips Bay, though. That's so random.
Kips Bay stink, nigga. It's just Chinese stores and
like
fucking.
That, but I'm surrounded by my folk, man. Because right around now in Bushwick, I'm surrounded by Chinese, a lot of Spanish people. It's very calm. Not much of anything going on. It's very quiet.
That's what you like?
Yeah, it's chill. I smell all kinds of foods. Right, so all kinds of garbage from the Latinos versus the Chinese, and it's a weird mix. And then everybody got a yard sale going on the block. I kind of fuck with it still being a little hood.
Mm.
So Kips Bay is still kind of a little hood. They got nice restaurants.
No one would ever call Kips Bay hood. That's hilarious.
It's kind of good.
It's just the most trafficky area.
Yeah, it's very trafficky, but fun. So that's what makes it hood, because it's dirty. Because now, but you leave your apartment and the world is right there. So you go, okay.
I'm going to manifest that for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah,
You nice believe in manifesting shit?
Oh, hell yeah.
Put it out there.
I got a vision board.
How did you manifest it?
Well, I have a vision board, and I think that helps too, literally just seeing things all the time. Yeah. I also have a gratitude journal. Okay. So when I wake up every single morning, I write three things that I'm grateful for and three things that will make my day great, and I do three positive affirmations. Like today, I was like, I'm grateful for my series regular role. Today, I'm grateful for my hit TV show being in the second series. So you just, in the second season.
Show off.
Yeah, so that's why you just speak that shit into existence.
Show off.
Yes.
Like so when y'all say I came out of nowhere in comedy, no, I manifested that shit.
She manifested her ass, like, right.
Right. Like, but what made me, like.
She like Nightcrawler with her manifestations.
Because they was like, who is this bitch? Just passing everybody. I was like, yeah, man. Understand, Carrie Cotter be dancing in the streets. She will Millie Rock anywhere. Any chick that will Millie Rock anywhere.
Anywhere. Millie Rocked on every block.
On every block. On every block. I'm going to be in Kips Bay. Millie rocking on those blocks.
Bro, that's Carrie just out there Millie rocking.
It's so funny to hear y'all say that I came out of nowhere. It's interesting to like.
To be honest, I saw you one year. And then the next year you was doing that. And then you was fucking with Wyatt Cenac. I'm like, where the fuck? Okay. And you doing spots with us at the stand. I'm like, oh, okay. She in. She do shit. Okay, I get it.
Well, thank you.
Monroe left, but don't you can talk to me.
Okay.
So
just me.
You go. So Brooklyn, born and raised.
Born and raised.
Nice. Family Trinidad and Guyana.
Guyana. Woo! Mm-hmm. Woo! You remember.
All right. So yeah, I'm kind of a thought for wanting to stay. And Kips Bay is nice, but no, you going to Columbia and just all the places you travel on your Eat, Pray, Love shit, I really dig it. But I don't, like, Ro travels a lot. And I'm happy
love it.
For him.
I be seeing the pictures, Ro.
Yeah, he be going ziplining and fucking.
Yo, Ro be on activities. He have his helmet on. He be like, safety first, buckle the fuck in.
Buckle the fuck up. Nah, for real, man. I think if you believe in God and you're religious, I think it's blasphemy to not see all of his creations. Mm-hmm. I think it's very, like, complacent.
That was a religious take. That's interesting.
Yeah, but that's how I go. I go, you should see the world. You should see all his creation. So why not? Like, when I get a little bit of money, like, when I get out of debt a little bit, I go and do something. I'm like, yo, let's go on vacation. And we go back in the debt.
Yep.
But then, like, I got to see something.
Word. Yeah, you got to see
fuck
something.
That
so
shit.
The debt was worth it. I get it.
It's always it's worth nice. It. It's that is always worth it in this game.
I like that a lot, man. Y'all can tell me about it. Give me postcards and all that. I'll be at the Gansevoort.
Nigga, you going to travel.
Not the Gansevoort. He made it all the way to fucking meatpacking. How adventurous.
I'll be at the Gansevoort. He's going to get coffee.
He going to get a chick who womb broken.
You know me. I
like
love
she
a girl
get
a,
no
with
womb.
A shoddy
wait,
uterus.
Wait, you said her womb is
yeah.
broken?
Yeah, her
a
uterus
girl with a
is
shoddy
like
uterus
out of
that
commission.
Loves to travel will be the girl I probably fall in love with.
And then that's who's going to take him around the world. Because now he got this girl that he can dump in. Bum uterus.
Yo, you but they also got birth control. Like, you don't need a bitch to have a broken uterus to fucking nut in her. That's crazy.
That don't work all the time. A girl with a bum uterus, that is a 100% chance that me and her are going everywhere.
Yeah.
We have no worries about no kids.
I really hope you don't have a bum dick. Because
I don't have a bum dick.
Okay.
This is the beauty of it.
Why are you getting offended?
Who, me?
Because there are women. No, let me defend you. Let me defend you.
Go first.
You're getting offended.
I'm not getting offended. You're
getting offended. You went. This is what you did.
I didn't get offended.
You got offended. Let me tell you how you got offended. Because you took bum uterus as an attack.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
You ain't got no bum dick.
I hope you don't got no bum dick, which means you're trying to defend the women with the bum uterus. But he's doing the women with bum uterus a service because a lot of those girls feel useless and they like, well, nobody will love me. You got a nigga who's like, bring that broken ass.
I don't think that's the thing. No.
Give me all your scraps and metals.
Only a nigga could say some shit like that. That is so dumb.
Wait. So
it's not true.
It is true. And you were mad because you were a bum dick.
If he knew he was shooting
blanks, he would be happy. He'd be like, what is empty?
What I'm saying is that women whose uteruses don't work, niggas don't give a fuck. They will impregnate you. They will not impregnate you. That is not like a barrier for a nigga to fuck with you. Dudes don't care.
Niggas do want kids.
I don't want children.
You want kids?
But I want the company of this wonderful woman with her broken ass pussy. So therefore, it gets wet. Just no kids come out.
Yes.
We can go everywhere. Do you understand? I will go everywhere.
It's like the jacuzzi's broken, but at least it's still a swimming pool. You see what I'm saying? Like,
no, I don't. Like,
you don't get the bubble.
These analogies are so disgusting. Like, I can't even. I'm just like a fucking stagnant swimming pool with bacteria because you need the bubbles to clean the jets. And now,
no, you need the chlorine. She's clean.
No,
she douches. So she just don't have no kids.
Let me tell you, if she into it, fair exchange is no problem. So shout out. If you get a bitch to sign up for that.
My dream. I'm saying it on no need for apology right now. I'm on real care. Got it. My dream girl is a girl with a bum uterus that loves to travel. That's the true story.
Did I mention I can't have children?
Carrie, what are you
saying? No, I'm just joking. Bro. Just joking.
I'm trying to meet the Carmen San Diego that can't have little Carmen San Diegos, and we go around the world.
Yes. You should get a vasectomy.
No.
You should.
Why not?
That's what I'm saying. If you don't want to have kids.
No, let's really dig into this. Because if you truly, no, because think about it. If you truly don't want kids, then you
be the one.
Would get the vasectomy to go,
so all uteruses
look,
with
woman,
uteruses.
I can't get you pregnant at all.
No.
Because why do you want a woman to change her body?
Let me explain this right now.
No, don't panda, nigga. I'm not on your side either. I still don't forgive you for the last slide. Don't try to black auntie me. Like, who am I?
Come on, let's start this fight.
You're a fucking Democrat running, like, fight. Just pandering.
Fight. fight. All
right, listen.
I came here for
why
love.
Wouldn't you get a snip?
Because there's still lesbians out there that want to have kids.
So you do want kids.
No, if I can donate and they can have a kid.
Nigga, you would never be able to give your sperm away.
I can jerk off in the cup and then help two.
So what's stopping you from helping them right now?
Yeah.
Because I don't need to check.
Fill up all the cups right the fuck now.
Is it like
$60
a cup? Is it 60?
But I heard it was like, it's at least an eighth.
Why did needing a check become a thing if you just
trying
went,
mm-hmm.
Yo, from the bottom of my heart, I just want to give lesbians my sperm. Yeah, why aren't you doing that shit now?
I don't want to do it now. I got to do it when it's sentimental to me. It ain't sentimental right now, but I know.
So that means you still want to see the kid.
Oh,
no, I don't want to see the kid at all. What are you talking about? Wait.
Oh,
I don't
want to see the kid.
So why would it make it sentimental to you?
Because I helped them out. They got a kid now.
So you want them to come to you.
I don't want them to come to me. I go to a clinic. I jerk off in a cup. They put it in a fridge.
You see how the logic is falling apart?
Yeah, your logic is falling apart.
Because you're not being honest. You see what I'm saying? We caught you.
You're lacking the honesty.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Yes, there.
I'd rather jerk off in a cup and give the sperm to two willing lesbians who want to have a kid. I don't want to see a kid.
But you can do that now.
You can do that now.
I want to do it now.
Why don't you want to do it now?
I'm home smoking weed. I'm not going to wake up to go to the fucking...
What if, you know, they come to you. They have come collect.
I'll
they
do
will
a
come.
Collection.
See?
You will?
No, okay. The nigga didn't care because he never investigated it. That was just something you thought sounded good.
Sounded good.
Because I'm like, you would do it now.
I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Just
go. Let's record. We're going to have a special episode of No Need for Apologies where we go with Derek to the sperm bank. He donates sperm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll do that.
That's what we're going to do.
And then he goes.
We're going to see him
do
it.
Then we go see him go to the vasectomy?
Huh?
Is that the next step?
Vasectomy right after it?
Nah, fuck that.
That's so funny. I got to get clipped after I give out the...
Yeah.
Yo, you man, gotta, I was like, you gotta seen
do.
That before.
But this is
like,
what you gotta
right,
do.
Cool.
This is what you gotta do, ready?
Carrie, that's cool.
You gotta go there and you gotta get give 100 samples, right? You gotta
100
be like
samples?
Yeah, you go give 100 samples and you send out a mass text. Go I'm donating my sperm to any woman out there who wants it. This is the sperm bank that has it. And
yo,
if
what
you
if
want
nobody
it,
shows
go,
up?
I'm like, so I would laugh.
Like, nah.
We're not mean. I would laugh my ass off. I would go, well, fuck y'all.
It's like a Willy Wonka.
What if bitches showed up to protest with signs
that
and
would
shit,
be
like...
the last sign of jadedness. After that, I would commit fully to the whole, you know, fuck everybody.
Yo, that's a new level of rejection.
That's so
when
funny.
But,
they don't want
if,
you.
But what if it's like some Willy Wonka shit?
What you mean?
Like the Willy Wonka shit.
You know,
like
I didn't
you,
see Willy
like
Wonka.
Golden ticket type shit?
Yeah, so you donate to different. Maybe you donate to different sperm clinics.
I'm not going
to go and
on
you
a jerk-off tour.
And you go, hey, ladies, here's some clues.
That's a jerk tour. I'm not doing a jerk tour.
Nigga, if you really want to help lesbians out.
He don't want to help lesbians out.
You don't
want
to help, nigga.
He just don't want to get a vasectomy.
I take it all back. I take it
Thank
all the
you.
Fuck back.
I know
I'm
you
not going to no goddamn
Back up
sperm
off that bum uterus. Thank
no,
you very much.
No, I want the girl with the bum uterus. That's fine.
Yes.
I'm so yeah, we stuck with that. Back to bum uteri.
Yeah.
I don't want to, no.
See?
No.
There we go.
I'd rather just live in Kips Bay and live my life. Because you got to understand, homegirls from overseas always come over and they don't want to spend money on exorbitant Airbnb prices. So that's where I come in. Come hang out with me. So if I got an apartment in Manhattan, it's nice, a two-bedroom, some shit like that. And a Kips Bay two-bed ain't as expensive as a Chelsea two-bedroom.
What?
Uh-huh. So what he can do is offer these women room and board.
I was like, what the fuck is what are you talking about? Mailer brides? Like, you, my mind went so many different places. He's importing bitches.
And
they in the spare bedroom,
you said,
too?
This nigga said... If these chicks need Airbnb, but they don't want to pay Airbnb, they
prices.
Can stay with me.
Stay with me.
And what's the cost? They got to come up off that bum pussy.
No, they don't want to. You have to. It's no cost.
Are they going to want
to? They're always going to want to.
Are they?
Yes.
Are they? Are they?
I'm manifesting this
okay.
shit. Any girl
this nigga
that come around,
to...
they're going to be like, all right, I kind of fuck with it. Like, it's just.
He just wants.
Yo, I want to. I wish
dude,
I was a dude. Like, I
this
just
nigga
wondering.
Really just want a house where bitches pay
like a
him
trap
to
house.
There,
so you trying to do some
fuck.
R. Kelly shit? Like, what the fuck you
no,
mean?
No, I didn't say
no,
children.
No.
I said
Wait,
women
oh,
of age.
His women are of age.
Not all of them.
Well, we're talking
this
about the ones that are
basements of 17.
Those are the ones that signed the report cards and permission slips. He always kept an old bitch around to
yeah.
fill out documents.
Yeah,
to
a house
you got to check this bitch homework.
Uh-huh.
Come here.
Yep.
And then they got to check his fucking homework because the nigga can't spell.
He can't read,
so.
Right?
Uh-huh.
R. Kelly can't read either, yo.
He
I
can't
know.
Read.
These millionaires can't read. Like, when I found out Floyd can't read.
Oh, yeah.
When you don't have money, will you really waste your time on reading?
Like,
yes.
On.
For real. Like, if I'm already a multimillionaire, fuck reading. Fuck reading.
You mean if you made it to being a multimillionaire without being able to read, you would just be like, I don't need it.
Yes. Mm. I'd be like, fuck reading, nigga. Put it in Braille. Nigga, just
even
there.
So,
niggas can't
we
read Braille.
Read is blind, so you got to fit. Even when you got sight, feel it around.
You got to
yeah.
read.
Okay, there you go. Yeah,
no?
You on okay. something?
No.
Yeah, man.
That's just so funny.
Alan Floyd. When I found out Floyd really couldn't, like when I saw him do that heart radio ad,
uh-huh.
and he couldn't get the, I was like, these niggas out here that really are illiterate.
Yeah.
I didn't think so because I just came up reading. Like I just go. You had to learn how to read and write.
You ain't
right?
never have an illiterate moment.
Nah.
Nigga.
My mom,
yeah.
I'm,
you ain't never be like, you read something, you just go like.
It's only been huge fuck. Words. It's only been like, how the fuck? Like, sound yeah. it out type shit? Like,
yeah.
How the fuck? But for the most part, I went to really good schools in Northeast Philly, man.
See?
Went to good schools and shit. They were public, but they were Jewish in Jewish neighborhoods. So I had all
so
that
you
shit.
You learned how to read.
I learned how to read, and I knew Indians, and they was working on pre-cal and. And all that horse shit. Ain't you like a kid genius too? Like mm-hmm. you told me some shit. Then you go to like 12th grade when you was like 10.
I was 12 in freshman year of high school.
Dang.
Yeah.
She's a little man Tate. Carrie know how to play Damn. Chess with her eyes closed and shit. Like she know how to do stuff.
You know how to play chess?
I do.
Yeah.
She's Bobby Fischer.
Yeah.
I do. I haven't played chess in a long time.
So
wait, so how was that experience being 12 in high school? Because that's molestation.
And in Brooklyn.
Yeah, like if you had a boyfriend in high school.
But he was also he was 14.
Word. So that's
but nigga, you 12. Don't nobody want no 12-year-old snatch.
It was weird. Like in hindsight, I wasn't ready for it because what I did in high school was insane. Like so, I went to a gifted high school.
You went to the X-Men school.
So yeah.
So, It was
like niggas is special.
It's a specialized high school. You know, they gotta take the
like
exams.
A Professor X, like handicapped, smart niggas.
Smart, like mutant smart.
Anyway, shut up.
All niggas in wheelchairs, but they know calculus.
I don't know how to move around on my feet, but I can.
But I can read.
I
nigga.
Can add up how to walk to somebody else. Like that's so funny.
Nah, I went and it was like a really, it was a huge school. It was like 4,000 students, but in eighth grade, I was like valedictorian of a class of nine. Okay. So I went from going from having nine kids to like thousands of kids and I just stopped going to class. I was like, fuck school.
What?
I'm not going to class. I cut class. I fought all the time.
You were overqualified for school.
It wasn't just that, you know, I think I was just too immature. Yeah. So like I went in with a chip on my shoulder because... Okay. Like, I remember my first week, somebody tried to bully me. And it was like, oh, did you hear about the 12-year-old freshman? And I just sat there like a fucking punk. And I was like, I should have said something. Yeah. And then the next day, I was like, yo, I'm never going to feel like that again. So I just started taking bitches' heads off. And it was like, oh, my God, did you see the 12-year-old bitch just fucking everybody up? Yeah. And then so that was the whole thing. Like, I just felt like I had to prove something.
You blade.
I always was just like, so that was just insane.
But your grades didn't get fucked up, though.
Of course they did. I didn't go to class. Wait, I went to four different high schools. I got kicked out of that one.
Wow. So what high school? You graduated from a regular ass high school then?
I started off in the gifted high school. Top one, and I went to the worst of the worst.
So then
in
you can't claim that gifted one.
Yes,
that's like
I
me
can.
Going, I went to Harvard, but now I'm in fucking Rikers.
But listen, she was valedictorian in a class of nine, so she kind of already did it. You see what I'm saying? And then went with 1,000 kids and then couldn't adapt. Because, you know, the circumstances, they go down one, can't adapt, can't go down. You've gotten experiences from all four levels.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of wild.
Thank you.
What college did you go to?
I went to Baruch.
Baruch,
it's up the block. It's on 23rd and
New York.
I don't know shit about New York colleges.
It's a
New York colleges like don't feel real to me.
Because they ain't right in the city.
Because they're not. Because you take the train.
Right
yeah. It's like, nigga... You getting the New York experience. This don't count.
It did not count. But my mother was not sending me away to school because I did. Wow. I was so wild in high school. And then I was 16. I didn't even think I was going to go to college. I was like, I'm going to move to Hollywood. And I'm going to be an actor. She was like, bitch, if you don't take your black ass on the train and come the fuck back home where I can keep an eye on you.
Bitch, you got to go to school and come back.
And come back. Yep. Okay. So that's what I did.
But why didn't you go do your own thing?
Like what?
But you
know.
Came out
I
good.
Did. I did.
Like, why didn't you just be like, no, mom, and then just go away anyway?
Because I just couldn't. I was 16. Where was I really going?
We're just going to take the loaf of bread and a toy and go run away somewhere to Hollywood. Come on, bro.
Just go, I'm going to this college.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. All right.
So you was going to go to L.A. and be on your...
I was going to go to L.A.
You was going to do... You was going to whoopee it out and then turn into somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopee it out.
Whoopee went just up and left with Hollywood type shit.
Did she? I didn't know that about her.
Yeah, I'm making that up.
Oh, I was like, I don't think so. Pretty sure she was in the theater in Chelsea. She did a one-woman show. Right. The theater show was wildly acclaimed. People came to see it. Like, I think that's... Then she got The Color Purple. I'm pretty sure. I'm like, Whoopee was in Hollywood. Bitch, where? You know full well Whoopi could not make it in Hollywood with those looks back then. It's just she had to be here. He said it so confidently too.
I know, I'm like
I can't stand you.
It's okay though. So that's dope. Cause you came up with terrible high schools too, right?
Yeah, nigga.
Yeah, he was a foster kid, so he came up like that's crazy. Cause I went to a bad high school, I guess, in Philly, Washington. But
it wasn't bad?
It wasn't bad. Kevin Hart went to that school. Just a bunch of show-off niggas went to that school. Mm-hmm. That's why it was a fashion show every day. And then when my mom got a new job, I moved to Jersey. I had a Philly sense, but in a Jersey school. So I came up through the years. I kind of just used the swag of Philly to kind of navigate through South Jersey. And it worked out.
What school did you go to in South Jersey?
Overbrook. In Pine Hill, because it's Overbrook in West Philly.
Yeah.
But the Overbrook in Pine Hill, New Jersey was just like the...
A different...
It's the wannabe school. All the thugs was wannabe thugs. There was a bunch of pretty boys in there. Everybody was just trying to talk to the bitches. It was just like... It was a bunch of all the light-skinned Johns from Sicklerville used to go to that school. It was just like... It was a party school. My school was like yo, you heard such and such and such fucked the football team. Like, yeah. That was just like, it wasn't really.
Now,
a,
do girls be really kids? Fucking the whole black team? That's a lot of niggas. Are black they fucking white. The dudes on the bench as well?
Probably not the niggas on the bench.
Okay, so they just fucking
some
like
bench niggas get fucked.
But bench niggas bench get niggas pussy get because fucked. They got the jersey on. Because you don't get the jersey for free. If you don't play, you still
you
get the jersey.
You know what's interesting? Mm. So I noticed like in other places, like the basketball players or the people yeah. that are on teams are like the popular ones. In uh-huh. Brooklyn, that's not really how it is. Like, yeah. like we'd be like, oh, them niggas is corny. Like you fucking with a football player, this nigga is a part of a team. He's lame. Like like no, I was a
this
cheerleader my freshman year.
Dude, they are part
yeah,
of a team.
they were cornballs to us. So it's just so weird, like that, growing up thinking that like they reversed. Were the cool people, and they were like, no, the cool people so don't go up. To class because you got to have grades to be God. On the thing. The cool people weren't.
So
doing
the
that
dumb
shit.
People tricked the cool people. Because not going to class isn't a smart thing to do.
It's not a smart thing to do. But you know what? Because I went to a smart high school and there yeah. was a small percentage of black kids, yeah. I feel like the black kids had to prove that we were cool. Like, we yeah. weren't nerds. So they were more reckless than, like, people got thrown out for having guns. People were tasing people. I've never done more crime in my life than I did in that gifted school.
That's so funny.
It was insane.
I've never done more crime
more
in my
crime.
Life.
More crime. Because everybody else was a victim. One of them Chinese smart-ass kids, they were just victims, not locking their lockers. We was out here like, fuck that. Victims.
That is the funniest
oh my God,
statement ever. I've never done more crime in my life.
I've never done more crime in my life until that 4 years in special school.
I'm
special
telling
high
you.
School.
Oh my God.
Smart kids
it.
Are stupid.
Smart kids get smart to do dumb shit. Like whoever the high school motherfucker that created that vodka tampon concept basically a few years ago.
Oh, so you could get drunk.
They dip
you dip
the,
it in
and then but shove it up your ass uh-huh. and then you can't nothing shows up on the breathalyzer.
Mm-hmm.
But kids was getting drunk for like alcohol poisoning. Hot, because they got too drunk too fast because it was going into
that's
them
such
too
a crazy
quick.
Way to like
so
have...
motherfuckers was getting smart to get stupid. So you know it's a lot of that happened in like a high school or some college like that, some bored kid, and then some bored kids make Facebook. So you know it's levels
because
mm-hmm. the nigga that made Facebook was bored. He was mashing chicks' face together because
mm-hmm.
he couldn't get a bitch.
Is that true? Is this like a whoopee story?
It's
nigga?
True.
Like
it's
now
true.
I gotta fact check everything.
Fact check it, but it's true. You can watch that. It was on the movie. I read about it.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's true, but. Yeah, the whoopee thing, I just kind of rolled with it. I just wanted to.
Do y'all think that, like, being in comedy, especially, like, I lived here my whole life, so I don't feel like I'm new to New York.
Okay.
But I do feel like I came into the comedy scene and had to, like, figure out who and learn around. And it feels like high school.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all
absolutely.
Think that that's like in a, like, it literally feels that way. Even the way we talk about classes and the way it's classes, and you got the people that quit and
yeah.
come back, you but got the teacher's pet, you got the yeah. people that cheat.
I mm-hmm. will give you that, but. What I say your advantage is you was already in the city.
Yeah.
Like a lot of New York dudes that I know came up real quick in New York because they already had New York.
Yeah.
Andrew Schultz is one. Eddie Murphy was another. Chris Rock was another. You know, like these motherfuckers was already in
yeah.
the city. So when they got to kicking in comedy, they already had all the knowledge to get these crowds. Like me yeah. and Ro, we came from Philly. We from another school. So
mm-hmm.
when we came
y'all transfer
in,
students.
It was like,
yeah.
fuck. So we kind of had to learn the whole thing over again. So I got knocked off my Philly horse real quick. So I came in on my Philly swag, and then New York was like, that's not universal enough. Get up out of here. And I was like, damn.
But so do you think the advantage is in knowing people in the city already so that, like, if you perform on a show, people come to see you? Or is it an advantage just knowing how to maneuver with different personalities and different types of people?
No one ever came to see me. So I had to kind of make new friends.
Mm.
That and that's the trip from not coming from already New York.
Because
I didn't have a backup. Bringer shows was impossible because I wasn't going to get my
right.
Philly to come with me to New York to do a yeah. show.
Uh-huh.
So I just had to kind of start from scratch.
Man.
Be the kid in the back that just was, I'm the funny new kid in the back that's telling jokes to keep from getting beat the fuck up. So that's, you know, that's basically that mentality. I got to keep
telling
you.
I think there's pros and cons, though, because that makes sense. Because that's true. Like, in my experience, like, I started with my own room, but I already had people to come to see me, so
yeah.
it wasn't hard to do that. But I think when you come from a new place, like, I don't have many close friends in comedy because my friends are the friends I went to high school and college with. So,
yeah.
like, I treat comedy like a job sometimes. Like, I pop in, say what's up to some coworkers, and I go home. But when you move here, comedy's sort of all you have, so y'all are able to form real friendships and real bonds
yeah.
and maneuver in a different way. Like, y'all got mad solidarity.
Yeah.
And my whole shit was, I called these niggas up because I was like, all right, man, I'm rolling with my clique, but something ain't right. Because I was like, and for 5 years, I was running with them, and we was already in Philly running up down South Street doing spots. So with this new gang of dudes, it was cool because I was running around Andrew Schultz, Akash Singh, Khalees Hawkins, Mike Blaustein, and Case Rosso. That was my squad.
Mm-hmm.
But then everybody just started doing different shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't hanging out with them. I was just sitting there like, damn, something's off. I mean, I can go with them to that show, but it don't feel like it used to. So I called him up first. Yo, this is the Promised Land. He was like, I'm coming up. Then he was like, then he called Chris and Dave. Yo, it's the Promised Land. They start coming up. Then the white boys start coming up. And then when Reggie came up, it was a wrap. Because that's when Reggie came up, we already met Menuin. And motherfuckers was like, yo, how we going to do this out here? And we was like, I made a squad. Yes. Yeah. And then that's when everybody started to notice. Mm-hmm. And here come the Dark and Cloudy click.
It's not dark and cloudy.
Like, it looked like a storm cloud. We used to look like a storm cloud walking into the cellar before we was passed. Mm-hmm. Before we was passed. We come in there six deep. What's up, Nat? Loud.
They towering were called a stereo, surround sound.
They used to call it surround sound. We came in there towering six deep, all of us over 6 foot. What's up now? It was a different aesthetic after that. So that's where I was like, and then we was like, we realized what we were. It was like, you see what's happening when we go to these places. Things change. Let's keep changing them. So that's why the Solidarity came, because we saw how much strength we had in our Philly numbers. We was like, okay. And then we was all on that same, let's write some hot shit and be the funniest niggas. So, you know, it was kind of state property to game. Took the city back.
I know y'all can't hear me nodding, but I'm
nodding.
Yeah, I
was like, I've never seen Monroe so quiet.
Yeah, I'm nodding, I'm agreeing.
I basically called the squad up. I was like, New York is it. Yep. I get it, but I can't do this alone.
Mm.
And I can't call my homies up. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I get it. So, yeah, so you see the Brooklyn versus how the Philly mentality work. But what I have noticed, Brooklyn accepted me a whole lot quicker than Harlem did before Manhattan did. When I came to Manhattan, when I was doing Brooklyn shows when I first got here.
By Brooklyn shows, you mean like Black Brooklyn,
Black
or
Brooklyn
you mean
shows.
Okay?
No, this before White Brooklyn happened.
Okay,
I got here
the good old days.
Yeah, I got here 2009, 2010. I was visiting. I was driving up from my mom's house, so I was coming to those Brooklyn Mike shows where it was a sports bar, and you was right here, and the crowd was right here, following Nicky Carr and Kool Bubba Ice, and fucking that's when what's the nigga name?
Damon?
Not Essence?
Laughaholics. Ray DeJean.
Not Ray DeJean. The boy, homie that died. Rashad.
That's what.
Rashid.
Damon. Damon Rozier.
Not Damon Rozier. Rashid. Old school Rashid.
Oh, I don't know.
Deep voice. He was like the two Ray in New York.
Maybe he died
anyway,
before I started.
This was
rest in peace.
Rashid, he was like one of the funniest, and like when the Bad Boys.
Okay.
He was like the guy. So I was in that camp of the fucking Tina Graham. I was up there, and I was seeing all that, and they accepted me flat. I was making money in Harlem. I was making money in Brooklyn.
And when you say accepted you, you mean it was just easier for
it
you
was
to even
get,
to get stage
up.
Time? Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was easy to get up.
It's less political.
And I understood the ravenous of a black crowd because I was coming from Philly, so I got it. So, but motherfuckers got in my head. It was like, as soon as you make money, you can become a local hero in New York, too. You got to go to Manhattan and try to figure it out if you want to make that TV shit.
Yeah.
I was like, well, goddamn. So because I moved from Philly because they told me to do that, then I start going to the same hood spots in New York. And then when they told me, all right, you got your money now. You're going to be the $120 killer. Or you can go down to Manhattan and kind of suffer. Like, I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, I'll do it. And then that's how it happened. That's when I started really calling them up like, oh, I figured it out. So you can make your little money, but you got to hang out.
Yeah.
So it's like a weird. And so I told him the same shit. And he went a whole nother route. He was like, I'm going to go the alt route. I'm gonna go down, I'm gonna check out UCB and then come up on the other side, work on my shit. I still know the hood. I go up to Harlem from time to time. I was like, who the fuck is this nigga thing? And he did it that way. So everybody had a different lane, but New York was always I'm like, I get it. So God bless you already being here. Cause I learned late. I learned when I was 24. You've been out here. So I was like, shit, if I would have known about New York when I was 18, it'd be crazy. But
yeah, but I think there's something to be said of even starting comedy later because you don't have to, you kind of know who you are a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like when you 18, your jokes would have just been like, I'm just trying to figure out how to use my dick jokes.
Yeah.
When you 25, you kind of know who you are a little bit more. So I think you can also get ahead a little quicker.
You already had people, you had fans. Like, yeah, so you came in hot. Like, that's why we was like, where the fuck she come from? Because you was already in Brooklyn swirling. We was in Manhattan. Hustling for spots. You come up, jokes, right? I got that. You need people? Yeah. I got them right by. Like, Who is she, the Verizon man? Like, what the fuck?
Not Verizon.
She got all, she got the hood with her. She got the fucking hood with her. All right. So, yeah. So, there it is. So, in that, yeah. I always respected the New York, the born and raised New York comic.
Well, thank you.
I concur.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. We got really philosophical just now, guys.
That's what the fuck we do.
Yeah, I mean, this is no need. This is the grand no need for apologies. We really like to dig in.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to tell us? Carrie got a bunch of comedy career.
Yeah, this is about you.
It's about you, babe. You tell us something. I mean, we could look at these topics if you want to tackle the topic, because I know, don't you be on The Daily Show or The Late Show?
They canceled every show that I was on. No, I'm trying to figure out, nigga, was it me? Like, just say y'all don't want me to come in your little show no more. Every show. Hopefully they don't cancel this shit after this come out.
Here come the mush.
It's the Grim.
The mush cadet. Uh-huh. We don't never get past the third season when she come and speak her opinion. I'm
I said the Jews too many times, and they fucking, apparently you can't say that anymore.
That's so funny. But yeah, you was on them show. How was that? How was that experience to be in the political, more so political light, which is with your comedy?
I liked it. When I first started, like, so y'all know I'm like really political, or I used to be. Now I'm just like so fucking drained by politics that I don't have any jokes about it anymore. Everything is old. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But before, like, I remember when I first did the nightly show, it was right after Freddie Gray died. In Baltimore.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm not gonna talk about this. And I went on Yamanika's podcast and she brought it up, and like I just went ham. Like the floodgates opened, and I came back and I wrote like a crazy status on Facebook just going in. And then one of my friends who I didn't know worked at the nightly show was like, yo, you wanna come on the nightly show and tell this story? And I was like, absolutely. So I went on, and I didn't have any idea like what it was, and I knew about the show, but I didn't understand that no one wrote your jokes for you, or no one told you what to say. They were just like, yo, just come on and be you. And I was me. Like, Larry Wilmore was like, if, because I remember there was protests happening in Baltimore, and that was when I met Seton, because Seton was on it too. That was my first time. And Larry Wilmore was like, this is the Keep It 100 question. There's rioting and looting going on. The person that you are now, would you do it? And I was like, abso-fucking-lutely. I'm out there. I said, CVS has insurance, these black lives don't. And they were like, oh, wow, that's, you're not really. In hindsight, I don't think they expect somebody on Comedy Central to be like, yeah, I'm looting. I'm out there right now. I'm robbing shit, but y'all know I did crime. So, like, I'm going to be mean no matter what.
Yeah.
So it was just fun to just be able to just speak. I don't know.
What is
that? That's dope. What?
You tell a motherfucker to be themselves, and then when they be themselves, you go, I don't like that.
No, but they liked it.
They liked that. Okay, on the nightly show, that worked out. I was like on the nightly show more than anybody else that wasn't hired there. But in other places, for sure, like, you know what's interesting? When I do black shows, black TV shows, I'll come in and I'm not, they don't, sometimes they don't like my version of blackness. It's very interesting. It is very interesting. Like, they'll be like, could you dial that back a little bit? And I'm like, what do you mean? That's so crazy.
Shit. Yeah, man.
Damn.
Carrie, you HBO black then.
Yeah.
You unfiltered black. We don't need commercials black. That's what you that kind of.
If they saying dial it back.
If they saying dial it back, that's because they got.
You at least AMC black.
My AMC.
AMC is like rated R.
On Walking Dead, the woman with the dread, she had two niggas. They used to fuck each other, but they had no jaws, and shoot camera around.
Michonne.
Oh, I've never seen that show, but people have told me that I remind them of that lady. Is that Rutina? Rutina Wesley? Does she play Michonne?
Nah, the girl in the...
I don't know. I don't know.
Diana from Black Panther. How do you say her name?
Oh, Danae Guerra.
Her.
I think she's Guyanese, too. We from the same place.
Yeah. And it's not... Look, she tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. When she was carrying... She had two zombies on a leash to keep other zombies away from her type shit.
Oh, so she a bad bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She used to hold zombies on a leash because if she walked with them, nothing would fuck with her. Mm-hmm. And you go, that's pretty. And she walked around with a sword, cut motherfuckers' heads off. It's good. So if you reminded them of Michonne, it's a compliment.
Well, I don't know. That's the thing, right? I think that people prejudge you when they prejudge
me. Absolutely. They have to, though.
They have to. They try to put you in a box. I think when I was doing a lot of political stuff, you know, it was a time when there was like the Phoebe Robinsons, the Francescas, and we would all be going out for the same thing. And yeah. They would be like, Phoebe's not available. Francesca's not available. Can you do this? And I would come in and they'd be like, oh, wait a minute. This is a different, different, like, because, you know, so it's just so weird. Like, people don't let you be who you are.
Phoebe or Francesca.
I ain't
no
none
fault.
Of them.
Yeah. They're like, they thought she was going to be quiet.
We thought she'd not be this person.
Out. What? Nah, I say fuck that nigga because that nigga.
Yeah, that's y'all are a delicacy. You are, because it's funny how they think they want black, and then when you give them a real one, when you go, that's what this is. Mm-hmm. This is America right here. This is real American black. I was this Brooklyn raised. They go, and it's like. That's in your own guilt. That's something in your own self.
It's weird though, right? Because sometimes that happens where I'm too black, or they'll be like, Amen. But then there'll be sometimes where they're like, wait a minute, she's not hood. So it's a weird thing because I speak like this. I'm from Brooklyn, and they don't understand. So then when I say some shit, and they're like, oh wait, she's actually smart. How could that happen? It's just like,
you have a personality.
I don't know.
That's it.
Hey man, that's a weird standstill, but that's how it usually is for the greats. We're in a weird middle for a long time.
A long time.
Because motherfuckers go, I don't know how to. Like when Roast first started out, his message was so fucking strong. It took him a minute to, you know, get wit. And then when they finally figured it out and then they saw it, he still kept on. I was like, well, he in it now. So I guess we got to ride with him because he ain't going to change for nobody. So it's like, it's a weird thing. Stay in your lane, but it's going to be, it's a lot of that.
Where do you fit? It's a lot of that.
You're not supposed to fit. Mm-hmm. Your job isn't to fit. Why would you work hard to fit?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
You don't dream to be regular. Who dreamed to be a regular nigga?
Who the fuck dreams Some people to be a regular
do. Nigga? Nah, extraordinary. Be extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Be extra black.
Oh, we good. Oh, yeah. We only have 40. I'm tripping. I'm thinking it was an hour, but we good. We got time. Cut this up. Sorry. Yeah, so absolutely. What else? So we can either get into some of these topics since you're so political. I'd like to hear your views on a lot of this shit. Because I want to hear from you, this Jeffrey Epstein shit. Allegedly commit suicide in jail after being arrested. Now, none of us thought he got the suicide. No, nobody thought he killed himself.
Mm-mm.
Somebody murdered him.
Somebody probably murdered him.
Like, but right in front of my face like that. Like, you in jail on suicide watch.
Mm-hmm. You ever been locked up?
Nah, I've only been to Central Booking.
Let me tell you something. I've
only been to Central Booking.
When you get locked up in Jersey specifically, Bergen County, fuck Bergen County. When you get locked up in Bergen County, they put you on a mandatory 24-hour suicide watch. They take you, they cavity search you, they give you the orange jumpsuit, and they put you in a fucking glass thing all around, and they're literally watching you. They put you in like a padded cell. They take everything from you. You can't have no shoelaces. And suicide watch is you watching other bitches be free outside. Like,
wait, Jeffrey Epstein was on suicide watch?
Yeah. When he came up dead,
yeah.
He was on suicide watch in a Manhattan prison. And she was just telling me that they put you on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they just stare at you to see what you're going
to
do.
So I don't understand. So somebody had to do it. Somebody went in there.
Somebody poisoned his jello or some shit. Something. I don't know.
What? How did he commit suicide? He hung himself, right?
What I heard was that they found him hung in a cell. If he's on suicide, where the ropes come from?
Bed sheets. The bed sheets. You take the... Why do I know this? First of all, I've only done maximum 3 nights in jail.
But you've been on suicide watch?
Yeah, they put you in. I was telling him in Bergen
You've been on suicide watch?
It's mandatory.
In Bergen County.
She
got locked up in Bergen County.
Your first 24 hours of intake, they put everybody on mandatory suicide watch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's some
They couldn't
shit.
Break me, though. I was in there doing choreography. They were so mad because I'm like, you're not going to get in my head. I was literally in there like, and one, and two. Y'all bitches want to learn, and three, and four. And they were like, you're the happiest prisoner I ever saw. I said, bitch, I'm not a prisoner. I'm going to be out tomorrow. Stop playing. I'm not a prisoner. I was out here.
I was doing crime.
What did you get arrested for?
Shoplifting in college.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I used to get busy. I believe in stealing from corporations, not people.
You are. You like a Black Fight Club. Like, like you girl Brad Pitt, fucked it. You're going to blow up buildings.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I want to hear a funny story, yo.
Yeah, let me hear it.
The last time I got arrested, oh, my God, this is crazy.
This is good.
I was on stage. I did Amina's show.
Okay. Shout out to Amina.
Amina had a show, a birthday show on like Bedford Hall, and the waiter was like being mildly racist. Like, I've done shows at this place all the time. I did your show then. I got these sneakers, these Jumpmans from the Afropunk thing that you did with Chloe, right? Was it you?
No, that was Alzo. I remember.
Okay, round tall black dude that y'all be around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so everyone sat down, and he, like, brought the check instantly, but it was, like, before the comedy show even started, and I was like, this is some weird racist shit. And, like, so I ordered something, and he was, like, hurrying me to pay, and I'm like, yo, I'm about to go on stage. Let me just do what I'm doing. So I go on stage, and I was like, I said something. I was like, let me hurry up and get off before this white man calls the cops on me, right? The white waiter. I'm just roasting him. Then I see Amina flashing me the light, but I'm crushing, and it's 3 minutes in. So I'm like, what's going on? She's just lighting me. Then I see the cops. I'm like, this nigga really called the cops?
Why he was on stage?
So I get off stage, which I thought was rude. You could have just let me finish my 10 minutes. There was really no urgency.
Like, wow.
So I get off stage, and the cops are like, let me talk to you outside. And I'm like, it was like, are you Carrie? And I was like, yeah, it's me. And then I look, and then I realize it wasn't the waiter. It was my uncle for some familial thing that happened.
Yeah.
Like, what happens is if you place like a restraining order against somebody, you have to point them out. So my uncle came with the cops to be like, yeah, that's her. And so then when the cops came to get me, they asked my name to confirm, and then they locked me up. And Amina's freaking out. Jotty's freaking out. Jotty's another comic. Jotty heard, do you have a gun? That's what he thought the cop said. And he was like, my sister came up afterwards. He was like, what happened to my sister? She was like, yo, the cops came. They was like, do you have a gun? Carrie said yes, and they took her. So word on the street was that I was just out here bringing guns to comedy show. And I'm like, yo, that's not what happened, bro. I didn't bring a gun.
Trapped.
That is not what happened at all.
Why'd your uncle point you out? Because you was in the neighborhood?
Oh, because he's a snitch-ass bitch. Let me tell you.
You be fighting
uncles. But I'm saying, so you were in the area? You weren't supposed to
no,
be in?
Because they tag you on Facebook. Yeah. So they tagged me on the Facebook flyer, and this motherfucker was like, oh, I know where she's going to be tonight. And he rolled up and caught me on stage and was like, boop, there she goes.
Wow.
So crazy.
Wow.
That was a great time. I told jokes in bookends. I was killing them. Don't give me a literal captive audience. Are you crazy? They're not going to break me. It's not going to break me. It's not. I'm going to find something to do.
This
thing is
literally captive. So, of course. Wow. Captivated audience.
I should tell this story before people think I'm a crazy lady that just gets arrested.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened was, it was Mother's Day weekend, and like, so my uncle has a son, I guess that's my cousin, he's like 17 or whatever, and he came to my family's house because apparently he was stealing from his mom, and he should have been a good kid. He's like a good kid, but he's one of these like IT savvy dudes that's just like scamming and buying bitcoins. Smart kid. And so it was Mother's Day, and he stole from my stepmother. Like, he came to the house, and when he left, her money was gone. So I was like, you can't do that. You can't be stealing from mothers on Mother's Day. So I rolled up to my aunt's house where he was staying, and I was like, all right, where's the money?
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, okay, I'm going to give you 2 seconds to rabbit ear your pockets, right? That's the old hood terms. You got to pull it out, turn rabbit into rabbit ears. Rabbit ear your pockets. And
get
if
them
you got,
shit Bugs Bunny, bitch.
And I said, if you give them to me, if you give it up, if you lie to me, I'm going to smack the shit out of you.
Okay. Ooh.
And
okay.
He was like, I don't got it. So I said, rabbit in your pockets. He rabbit in his pockets. Exactly $50 falls out. So I smacked the shit out of him. I was like, now I'm a woman of my word. I don't know where the men in my family are. I don't know why y'all allow this to go on, but you can't be stealing from mothers on Mother's Day. So I smacked him. That should have been it. It was a cool little thing. And then he had all these fly clothes. He had fucking Beats headphones, all of this. He had a new phone. I said, let me see that. And I packed up all his stuff, and I took it. And I was giving it, I was taking it to my stepmother's house, and I was like, you can retrieve it when you give her apology.
Yeah.
The minute I left, I'm a bozo. I forgot how to do crime. I left my cell phone there.
Oh.
My cell phone had all my voice recordings. I just did Caroline's with Che on it. All my shit is on there. So me and my sister leave. I had the clothes on me, and I was like, fuck, I left my phone. I gotta go back. We whoop back. Time I go back, this motherfucker smashed my cell phone into pieces.
Okay.
I was like, okay, I was going to give you your clothes back. I was just teaching you a lesson. Ooh. What did you think I was going to do with your clothes? And you broke my phone, so then I fucked him up. I beat the brakes on him. He was 17. He's taller than me. I squared the fuck up. I beat the brakes off of him, and I gave his clothes to the less fortunate.
Beat the brakes off somebody? That's crazy.
Yeah, wow. I gave his clothes to the less fortunate, to the little kids in my hood that need. I was like, you don't need this. You don't get your shit back. And his father, and this is where families fail, the lesson is in accountability. The lesson is not in stealing from elders. There's so much lessons to be learned. But his bitch-ass father was like, give me my son's stuff back. Your son broke my phone. Your son stole from a mother. We're not going to rectify any of this. He's like, if you don't get my son's clothes back, you're going to go to jail. I said, call him. Call
oh,
him.
Oh, shit.
Call him. Damn. So he called them. He
you
called them.
Islanders are just.
He called them. And they came. They came. But I was like, you think you're going to break me? Like, I got 50 new followers and bookings, my nigga. Like, you're crazy. I love jail. Who you thought I was, sir? You better stop.
I love jail.
Wonderful. Nigga, I dare you to try to break me.
You can't.
They in here with me.
Right?
I ain't in jail with them. They're here with me.
And you control any situation that you're in. I think that's what being a comment taught me is how to navigate uncomfortable situations, how to be unapologetically you, and how to own your truth. Like, I couldn't be embarrassed. Like, I said, I did what I did, and I believe in consequences for all your actions. I knew that that was a consequence, and I was prepared to fucking take it. And you know who's not stealing no more from family members? That nigga. So that I'm good. Nigga. And I still
that
got my
nigga.
Followers.
That mother.
Good. I'm glad they followed you once they got out.
Great ass story.
Yep. But you could have had more if they were.
If I stayed
out.
At the show. If I didn't get arrested and finished my set at the show. Yeah,
you nah, probably. No. How many people were at the show?
It was packed. It was her birthday show. She had a good crowd.
Amina be getting a crowd.
But you know.
Amina used to do them shows we used to do back in the day.
Man. But you know, in bookings, people come in and out. It's just like a revolving door of so just new blood. Yeah. So it was good.
That's so funny.
5 o'clock sure gonna happen, y'all. Let me just get something to drink and let me get the wrinkles out of my jumpsuit.
The guards came. The guards was looking like, what's going on in here? I'm doing crowd work. I'm roasting bitches. It was great. It was great.
Oh, wow.
It was great.
Well, all behind glass?
No.
Because if you're on Suicide Watch, you're by yourself, right?
No, Suicide Watch was in Jersey. This was in college.
Oh, this is two different.
This scenario was last year. I can now talk about the story because the charges got dropped. You can't charge me for the same thing twice.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
That's so great.
I thought it was all the same thing. No, I said the last time I got arrested.
That's dope.
How many times have you been arrested?
Twice, right?
No.
Twice. Once. Mm-hmm. Many times.
Maybe three.
Dope.
Maybe three. Four.
Four.
You got to understand, man. I almost got arrested
five.
One time.
Four.
At work.
It's been five.
I almost got arrested at work one
for
time.
For what?
I used to work at an amusement park in South Jersey.
Oh, yeah. You told me that.
And I got tired of the little money that I was making. So, you know, I went street with it. I started selling prizes from the game booths.
Nah.
So I just knew which games didn't have cameras, and I knew which games had a bank that always grew.
Because
the bank was never just 200 on certain games. It would always go up. So if you out all day, that could be anywhere. Or just to make them up enough when nobody playing this game today, which is a crock of shit. So it could be anywhere from 200 to 600 to five. So you could shave off the top. You could take money off the top. I could sell prizes for $10 over there. I could sell them for $20 over here. On 4th of July, I could sell them for, you know, because niggas don't want to play. They just trying to get the prize so they get the pussy. So it's like, oh, all right. I see what
you
this is.
You just being the conduit.
Let me just be the middle. Let me middleman all this shit and just go, look, man, you ain't got. I just press the little bell and act like you won. Just slide $15 under this little cup right here. And which one? You want the monkey. You want the monkey. Congratulations. And it was going good.
It always is.
And you
didn't quit while you was ahead,
It was going good for a solid month. Mm-hmm. I was making dough. My mom was like asking me, why you ain't ask me what? I'm like, Clemens Park, I'm doing good. They making commissions now, all kinds of shit. Cake. Buying sneaks, going to movies. I'm out with bitches buying snacks and chicken
fingers. See, this is why people don't know how to do crime. This is the shit that kills me. Like, you don't watch Paid in Full? Like, you got to lay low.
Lay the fuck low.
Lay low. He's out there living, coming in with white low tops. So what's up now? Yeah, on some Alpo shit. And then, the day of the church picnic where my mom is actually there.
Oh, no.
They hit me with the, can we speak to you for a minute? And I was like, uh-oh. They brought me to the back. We know you're stealing. You know you're making, you know you're taking cash on top. Somebody told on you. I was like, who told him? We're not going to say if you leave right now, we won't call the police.
Oh, that was nice of them.
And I was like, shit. So I gave him back the little money that I had in my pocket. But in my mind, I'm like, don't even know. This is just recorded.
This is today's
How much
take.
Did you make altogether?
Altogether, I was making at least. I made at least. That month, I made $600 extra. So I was doing all right.
Yeah.
Doing all right, selling prizes. And then it's like, you're stealing. So they just escorted me out. But as they just escorted me out, my mom and all her friends was like walking
They saw
up.
You?
So I had to kind of laugh it off. I was like, Mom, guess what?
I don't work here anymore.
They fired me for selling prizes. That's so stupid, right? And she was like, what? What? And it was right around my birthday. She tried to punish me on my birthday, but my mom was like, it's your birthday. Just you're an asshole. But I really need to ground it. Like, see, I know where I come. I'm spoiled, man. I told my mother.
You sound like my uncle.
I almost got
There's
charged.
No accountability.
I almost got charged for theft, because that's theft. I was stealing from the park. And she was like, you asshole, I should ground you, but it's your birthday.
But you're so cute. I can't ground you.
My mom is a G. That's how I know my mom from North Philly. You what? You kill anybody? Nah. How much money you make? I made a couple of dollars. That's why you weren't asking me for money this summer. Smack me in my face twice.
Thanks for saving me money.
Smack. Like a hard smack? Like a whap, whap?
Well, stop stealing, dummy. Like, pop. And I was like, oh, I got to take that to the face. And I was like, all right. It's your birthday, so, you know, take some of the money that you got. Go get yourself go to the movies with your friends. I was like, thanks, Mom. Because I'm just going to be a janitor at the church now and make money. And then that's how it all started. But, yeah, right before I started just becoming a straight janitor in order to support comedy, I used to work at an amusement park, but I was making dough. I was just because I was like, I'm tired of not making the money. And I heard everybody else was selling prizes. So I was like, y'all selling prizes. I can sell prizes, too. Shit, I can hustle.
What did y'all do to support yourself to do comedy? Like the crazy things?
Well, I was a janitor on a parkway and a turnpike and I was cleaning up cop shit. I used to clean up police
I had
stations.
A lot of weird jobs before comedy, but once I got into comedy, once I started doing it, I just worked at like Dave and Buster's for a while. Then I like had like an office job.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. And I worked at a school. I did city year at a school. I did city year. You know what city year is? It's an AmeriCorps program. You know what AmeriCorps program is? So you work an entire school year with public school kids from either like elementary all the way to high school age, and you do like community building projects and like stuff like that with them. And I did that, and then I worked at Dave & Buster's, and then I moved to New York, and then I had a dog walking job. I passed out flyers with Joelle at Metro PCS. We didn't really pass out flyers. We just sat in our car, ate Chinese food, and watched The Wire.
I remember that.
That shit was the greatest time ever. You remember that shit?
I remember.
I moved wood.
I
moved wood. Not no gigolo shit. But like, for real, me and Minuin, like, found this shit on Craigslist. Hit the dude up. He was like, yeah, I just need a couple people to move some wood and put it in the back of the truck. So we was doing it, but we didn't like the way he was talking to us, so we left. Because he was like, we were like throwing shit on, and he was like, hey, easy, easy, man. It was like, all right, you know you ain't paying us that much, nigga, so.
Yeah, you can't make demands.
I was like, so, like, watch your voice. Like, that was me. And Minnie was like, yeah. So then he did it. The dude was like, okay, I'm sorry. And then I seen him do it to somebody else, and I went, oh, no, this nigga trying everybody. So I was just like, yo, I'm done. Give him my little $20.
I got you.
Yeah.
I hated them odd jobs where.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I remember one time, just me and my homie, we was like kids. It was 15, 16. And we had to move a bunch of dead wires, like dead insulation wires. It was in the yard. We had to move it from one side of the yard to another. So his mom set it up. But this dude was an absolute goof. Like, that was the motherfucker that had the white in the corner of his mouth.
Oh, I hate those guys. Ugh.
And he just. But for lunch, he gave us some bullshit. Like, he gave us, like, two cans of tuna. Like, that's what I knew. It was fucked up. I'm like, all right, we getting cash.
That's crazy.
He gonna pay us some fives. But, nigga, when he gave us two cans of tuna and fucking, like,
was it
orange
in
juice,
water or oil?
It was in water. It wasn't no oil. I was like, thanks, man.
Oh, my God.
See, what you do, you cut it. I'm like, you ain't got a can opener, you bitch.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, but no, odd jobs for comedy, it was more so just being a janitor. And then when I quit that, I just was like, I'm going full time. Fuck clocking in no more. I don't like this. You know why? I'll tell you why I didn't like it. Because at the end of the day, I saw some white man like this, right?
Uh-huh.
Going like
arms,
this. Watching,
arms folded.
Arms folded, watching a line of black dudes clock out. Oh, I'll see you tomorrow, boss.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the, what? I'm like,
hmm.
I was like, nah, I'm done. And plus how they used to downplay me anyway made me go, you should show them, Derek. Because they used to say the funniest shit. These is union guys. These is white guys with no dreams. This is white guys with a plan. These motherfuckers, I'm going to work the highway. I'm going to get my pension. Mm-hmm. This is how we going to do it. I'm going to assault highways. They used to say shit to me when I was like, I want to be a comedian. They was like, what? What is that, like a Saturday thing? They just go, or I remember one time I transferred from one spot to another because they were trying to put me on night shift. And the motherfucker looked me dead in the face. He was like, oh, I see you're not here no more. So who's going to help you now? Eddie Murphy? I was like, he might. Shit. And I just left. And it's like they had no concept. So with them not having a concept, I sat there like, I can't be these niggas. Because I got a concept. Because I would invite them out to New York. I'd be like, hey, man, you'll come see me. I'm doing a show tonight in New York. It's too far. Nigga, the skyline is right there.
Yeah.
Like, if you look, that's the... I'll be right there. Like, that's not even that far. Like, you get free tolls, nigga. Yeah. You work on the turnpike. You won't even pay. Ah, I got it. All right. So I was like, yeah, it's time for me to get the fuck out of here. So the whole plan was get fired, collect unemployment.
Okay. That's been my plan for the last 15 years. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm on unemployment right now for my last writing job. Don't play.
Okay. So, yeah. So that's how it was. I'm glad it all worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we got to wrap up soon, so I don't want to end on some low point because our next guest is here. So, but I do want to.
I mean, we're going to cut that part out anyway. Why don't you announce the next guest?
The next guest is here. Yeah, we're going to cut that out.
We got to keep this rolling.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I got you, love. All right. Yeah, but we got to get you the fuck up out. I'm just joking. But, Kurt, you got anything to tell these people? You got something coming up?
Sure. My new podcast is coming out. It's called On the Chopping Block. You can follow it at On TCB Podcast and subscribe wherever you have podcasts. And it's a cancel culture podcast. Every episode, we talk about the new thing that people are trying to cancel and figure out. And we get people that feel differently about it.
Yeah.
And we have a nuanced conversation and see if anybody's minds haven't changed at the end of it. And it's really fun. Okay. And I don't believe in canceling people because people are fucking people.
Yeah.
So that's my take usually. Well, so nice it's fun.
Yep.
I'll have y'all on sometime.
All right. I'm with it.
I'm going to put bum uteri on the chopping block. Bum and you can come in here and be like, nah, I believe.
Bum uteri.
I love refurbished.
A refurbished
uterus. That's all it is. Just reupholstered and shit. Yeah. Just new linings.
That's dope, right? Mm-hmm. But it just don't spit out no kids. And it's fine. That's fine.
That's what mouths are for.
All right. And that's been another episode of No Need for Apologies.